Amen. All right, check this out. One day, pay attention, Ron. Three very important figures here. One day there was a rabbi, a Hindu, and a politician. Now, does that sound like a joke or what? It is. Okay. There's this rabbi, this Hindu, this politician. They were all traveling together. I don't know why, John. For some reason, they were. And they were in this car, right? And unfortunately, they ran out of gas. And they were forced to stop at this farmer's house for the night, right? Well, you know, so the farmer told him, hey, listen, I only got two extra beds here. Okay. So therefore, one of you guys have to go sleep in the barn. So the Hindu, he spoke up and he says, well, hey, I'm humble, right? I'll go sleep in the barn. And so off he goes to the barn. But a few minutes later, I mean, sure, all of a sudden, the Hindu, he's knocking at the door of the house and he says, hey, there's a cow in the barn. It's against my beliefs to sleep with a cow. I can't do that. So the rabbi, he speaks up. He says, hey, no problem. I'm humble. I'll go sleep in the barn. So the rabbi goes out to the barn and stuff. A few minutes later, here comes the rabbi. He knocks on the door of the house. He says, hey, there's a pig in the barn. Right? It's against my beliefs to sleep with a pig. That's not kosher. So the politician was forced to sleep in the barn. But sure enough, a few minutes later, another knock at the door. It was the pig and the cow. you know it's true. It's true. That happens. Okay. But what I like about that joke is it's one of those ones that you don't get to the end, right? It's got this surprise ending. Whoa, it gets you. I love those kind of jokes, okay? And frankly, they're not the only ones that are headed for a surprise ending, that is. So are the people at the end of the seven-year tribulation when they actually, at the Battle of Armageddon, they try to take on God. Can you believe that? You talk about a surprise ending for them. Okay, the Bible actually records what happens to those people who have the audacity to do that. Here's the outcome. Revelation 14, 20. And they, those people that did that, were trampled in the wine press outside the city. And what? Blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as a horse's bridle for a distance of 1,600 stadia. Let me translate that for you. It's an absolute bloodbath that's 4 feet deep for 200 miles. There's your surprise ending. Didn't work out too well, did it? Why? Because, folks, we are talking about the seven-year tribulation, and that is not a joke. The Bible says that is going to be an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet for people just like that, who have the audacity to spurn God's grace and mercy through Jesus Christ and actually want to get rid of God. Okay? And Jesus said in Matthew 24, that time frame is going to be a time of greater horror than anything this world has ever seen or will ever see again. And that unless God kept it to that short time frame, just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. But we've been seeing, praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of what? Love. He's a God of love as well. And because he loves us, he gives us so many warning signs 2,000 years in advance, some of them 25, 26, 2,700 years in advance to let us know, guess what? The seven-year tribulation is coming. You don't want to be there. You need to make sure you're saved and go with the rapture, which happens prior. That's what God does with Bible prophecy because he is a God of love. And so we're going to continue taking a look at our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising, signs that the seven-year tribulation is getting close. Now, we've already seen that first sign is what? It's the Jewish people and the Antichrist. We haven't even got to the Antichrist part yet, but hey, we're having fun with the Jewish people. There's lots more to go. Okay, and so far we've already seen the first 11, that's right, 11 future prophecies concerning just the Jewish people, letting us know that we are living in that time frame the Bible calls the last days. And we've already seen that Israel would return to the land. They become a nation again. They become a nation in one day. They become a united nation. They would recapture Jerusalem. Their currency would return to the shekel. Okay, they'd experience a rebirth of the Hebrew language. They would blossom as a rose in the desert. They become a light unto the nations. And last time, if you recall, we saw Israel would become a source of world conflict. And one of the reasons why they'd have that conflict is because they, another prophecy says, that they would have a powerful military, which adds to the conflict. And there we saw what's so wild about that is Israel. Who's Israel? Israel's just a tiny speck on the world scene. 20 and a half Israels could fit in the one state of California. It's like, how could they garner so much attention? Because God said, listen, folks, God said in Zechariah nearly 2,500 years ago that they would become a source of international tension conflict. It's exactly what's going on. All you got people, there's no signs we're living. Just turn on your news. Every day, Israel is a source of conflict. And again, we saw one of the reasons why is because another prophecy says that Israel, believe it or not, even though they're teensy-weensy-teensy, they would become one of the most powerful fighting forces on the planet, and they are hands down, including, as we saw, full nuclear capabilities. When the Hebrews we saw there says they're going to what? Remember that noise? Consume. When they consume people. And Zechariah says that part of that punishment of those who would come against Israel, what would happen? Their flesh would rot off their faces, their eyes and their tongues and their socket. And Could it be the nukes that they have? They have the third most nukes on the planet. Maybe. Maybe it's a plague. I don't know. I think the point is, you don't want to be there. Okay? But that's the whole point, okay? But that's happening, okay? But that's not all. The second reason why Israel has become a source of conflict in the last days is because not just a military conflict, but a what? A religious conflict. You can see it, the Dome on the Rock. Hello. Again, turn on your news, right? To add to this whole dynamic of Israel being a source of tension internationally, global news, everywhere, everybody's talking about it, Israel just happens to be the headquarters for the world's three largest religions, okay? And specifically headquarters in guess where? Jerusalem, okay? And what I'm talking about is Islam, Catholicism, not Christianity, because Catholicism is not the same thing as Christianity, and Judaism, the main three. And this is why you can turn on your news every single day, and you see people fighting again over religious conflict, specifically in Jerusalem, and specifically over that piece of real estate called the Temple Mount. While you and I are sitting here in relative comfort, we're only concerned about the game or the economy. This is typically what's going on over there, this religious conflict in the Temple Mount. Let's take a look at this.
Firearms inside the Temple Mount, violating the holiness of this important place.
Frequently leads to what? Violent clashes. You know what the Bible calls that? It's called conflict. An international conflict. As you can see, obviously, just turn on your news, having the three major world religions being headquartered in Jerusalem with all their differences, guess what? And they're all fighting over the Temple Mount. What's going to happen? You're going to have conflict, okay? That, I believe, is adding to this prophecy. Not just a military is going to add to the conflict. It's this religious dynamic that's adding to the conflict. Now, that's just the one thing. Many also believe that having all three of these major world religions here is actually being done on purpose to stage an event to create a one world religion that the Bible says you don't want to be a part of, okay? Let's take a look at that entity. Open your Bibles to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon the Harlot, the one world religion that's going to appear on the scene in the last days. Revelation 17, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to jump down to 15 through 18 as we take a look at the explanation of the symbolism that's going on there, okay? But what is going to happen with this one world religion? How's it going to play out in the last days? How do we know that that has anything to do with the conflict, the religious conflict in Jerusalem? But let's take a look. Revelation 17, let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Now, here's what he says, verse 1. Now, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came to me and said, "Come, and I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert, and there I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls, and she held a golden cup in her hand filled with the abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. And this title was written on her forehead, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. And when I saw her, woo, I was greatly astonished. Now, let's go for the explanation. Verse 15. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are what? They're the peoples, the multitudes, the nations, and the languages." It's a global aspect, okay? "The beast, Antichrist, and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin, okay, and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Why? Because God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that, what's the phrase here? Rules over the kings of the earth. Key phrase there. You may be seated, but let's tear this thing apart. We could be here for a whole several studies just dealing with this. There's a lot going on here. But for the sake of time, let me just give you a little bit of a recap. Basically, again, this is the one classic passage telling us that in the last days, there's going to become on the planet a one world religion harlot. Now, it says there that this harlot, this one world religion, is going to be drunk with the blood of the saints. Well, that must be the church. No, it's not. Read the context there. The saints that he's talking about who bore testimony to Jesus is referring to those who get saved after the rapture, the tribulation saints, which is not the same thing as the church. We're out of here prior to the 7-year tribulation. So that's the people that is talking about here. But it also says that she is going to be working initially, apparently, in conjunction with the Antichrist, controlling the religions on the planet and ruling over the kings of the earth. So there's kind of like this religious aspect going on, this government ruling aspect going on at the same time initially. But it says at some point there, the Antichrist is going to turn on her. God allows it as a form of punishment or judgment on her, and the Antichrist will actually destroy her. The Antichrist apparently uses this entity to get what he ultimately wants, and that, of course, is world domination. So basically, she's just a tool. But in the beginning, she is the one who rides the beast. This one world religion harlot. It looks like she's the one in control, not just of the religions, but of the government, etc. But later he grabs control and he kills her. Now, here's my whole point in bringing that passage up. Let's tear it apart. In order for this passage to be fulfilled, you got to have some certain things on the planet. Because again, this is a global context, right? Right? So put it together. So in order for this to be fulfilled, Revelation 17, you need to have some sort of global religious identity. Global religious identity who's working and has been working with the governments around the world, trying to control them, as well as promoting the lie that all religions need to come together as one, of course, under its control. Now, do we have an entity like that on the planet? It rhymes with the Vatican. For those of you wondering, it's the Vatican. Yeah, excuse me. I like what one guy said. Hey, listen, I'm not going to say thus saith the Lord, but if the Pope isn't the false prophet, he's working real hard to get that job. You know, he's just right. Folks, this is what's going on crazy in the Vatican, the Catholic Church. I tell you what, they are promoting the worlds to come together. And I'm going to give you a ton of proof of that today. Right? We've talked about this before in previous studies. But also, even in our own country, where do the governments around the world, when you get elected, eventually, very quickly, who do you go see? Why the Pope? Who cares? With all due respect. because they're working with the governments. This figure is all contained within the Vatican and the Catholic Church and what they're doing. And now, here's my whole point. Adding, let's go back to our context. The context is this conflict. Jerusalem, Israel will become an international global conflict. Well, the Vatican and what they're up to is adding to this religious conflict, because the Vatican, believe it or not, folks, wants to set up shop and have a universal temple for all religions to worship. Guess where? In Jerusalem. Okay. Now, and that makes sense when you understand the history of the Vatican Church. The Vatican has never been a friend of Israel. Do you realize this? And still to this day, in fact, the Vatican, if you look at some of their statements, they are one of the biggest promoters of what we saw before already in our study, the lie of replacement theology, right? That God's done with the Jewish people. A lot of this, folks, comes from the Vatican, the Catholic Church. And I quote, these are what the Catholic Church believes. The Catholic Church believes that they have replaced Israel. They are the new Israel. They believe they are the new Jerusalem. The Vatican and the Catholic Church believe that, quote, they are the rightful heir to the kingdom of God, not Israel. And this isn't just some past belief and they've modernized their ways. No. You look at modern headlines, let me share some of them with you, and they're still preaching this lie that they are the ones who replaced Israel. Okay? For instance, quote, headlines, Vatican representatives in Israel declares, and I quote, Jews are no longer the chosen people. That's coming from the Vatican. Excuse me? Okay, even here. The Vatican says Israel's existence as a Jewish state has, quote, nothing to do with the Bible. What Bible are you reading? That's the problem. You're not. Are you kidding me? Okay, and listen to this one. I'm just reading current headlines, recent headlines. We cannot speak about the promised land for the Jewish people. The concept of the promised land cannot be used as a base for the justification of the return to the Jews to Israel and the displacement of the Palestinians. What? So now you say that you're the new Israel, the new Jerusalem, you are the rightful heir to the kingdom of God, the Vatican, the Catholic Church, and on top of that, you says that Israel is no longer the chosen people of God and they have no right to the land. Oh, it gets even more than that. Because again, they can't have Israel control Jerusalem and the land because the Vatican has plans for the land for the global religion. And I quote, here's another headline. The Vatican went so far as to say, quote, they denounce the Judaization of Jerusalem. It's their city. It's been that way for 3,000 years. But they denounce that. And listen to this, listen. For, quote, trying to transform it into an only Hebrew Jewish city, excluding all other faiths. Well, first of all, they're doing that because that's what God says. It belongs to God, and he can give it to whoever he wants. We saw that before, multitude of studies already in this current study, okay? But again, why are they so upset about that? Well, folks, it doesn't make sense until you understand what the Vatican is up to. They want to create a global religion just like Revelation 17 says. And they want some headquarters there in Jerusalem. And so if Israel comes on the scene and says, hey, it's ours, back off, that doesn't work with your plan, does it? So that's why they're out there with this lie with replacement theology and all that stuff. The Vatican has never been a friend of Israel. In fact, we know this for those of you hooked on history, right? This one usually doesn't, for some reason, make the History Channel. But the Vatican, if they really were a friend of Israel, back in World War II, they had their chance. But they didn't, okay? They did not. If the Vatican had supported Israel and the Jewish people, then the Holocaust would have been a different story, okay? But they did not support them. Listen, during the Holocaust, Pope Pius XII, listen, turned a deaf ear to the slaughter of the Jewish people. Why would they do that? You're supposed to be Christians. It doesn't make sense, folks, until you understand the long-standing goal of the Vatican and the Catholic Church. They want Jerusalem. They want that territory because that's where they're going to set up shop for their global religion. Okay, now, believe it or not, the Vatican is no... Because, again, we're talking with the three major religions there, right? We got Islam, we got the Catholic Church, which is not Christianity, and you got Judaism. We just talked about Judaism. The Catholic Church is no friend of that. Well, believe it or not, the Vatican is not a friend of Islam either. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because if you watch the current news, it appears like the Vatican is chumming up with the Muslims. And they're going along with this. We've got to have this two-state solutions. We've got to have a place for Palestine. Folks, I'm telling you, the whole thing's a smokescreen. But listen to what Pope Francis recently said about the Palestinian leader, who the Palestinians, folks, on multitude of, we'll get into this even later, and I'll show you the actual broadcast, but you should already know this. They have gone on record. They don't want a two-state solution. They'll never go along with that. They want it all, and they want to annihilate the Jewish people, wipe them off the map. And yet the Pope said, this guy is an angel of peace. What? Yeah, watch this.
Thousands of pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square Sunday to witness Pope Francis canonize four nuns, including two from what was 19th century Palestine. Among the onlookers was Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, who was invited to a private meeting with the head of the Catholic Church Saturday.
This affectionate greeting marked the start of the meeting between Pope Francis and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. They held a private 20-minute meeting and discussed the recent agreement in which the Vatican officially recognized the Palestinian state. Also covered was the peace process with Israel, the conflicts ravaging the Middle East, and the need to fight terrorism by promoting interfaith dialogue. Pope Francis gave Abbas a copy of Evangelii Gaudium and an Angel of Peace medallion.
The Pope's de facto recognition of a Palestinian state builds on the Vatican's support for Palestine at the United Nations, says Middle East analyst Sharif Nashashibi.
He has made great efforts to build bridges and reach out across the Middle East.
Israel has expressed disappointment at the Vatican's recognition of Palestine, but Palestinian pilgrims at the Vatican welcome the move. But even as prayers for peace were offered at the Vatican, in Jerusalem, violence broke out between Israelis and Palestinians Sunday. Jewish nationalists commemorated Israel's 1967 capture of East Jerusalem with a march through the mainly Muslim quarter of the old walled city. The violence followed events in the Palestinian territories last week to mark what they call Nakba, or Catastrophe, the founding of Israel in 1948. The Vatican joins 135 countries in recognizing Palestine as a state. Analysts say the Pope's position as the spiritual leader of over a billion Catholics worldwide gives his move added significance.
Why would you take the sides of people who... They just admitted that they consider Israel becoming a nation a catastrophe, and other entities in their news programs, they freely admit that they want to annihilate the Jewish people, and yet you have the audacity to call that guy an angel of peace. Now, why is the Vatican doing this? Well, I believe that he's using Islam as a tool. I'll get to that in a second. You take a look at the Vatican, folks. Again, none of this will make sense until you understand what's their ultimate goal. Their ultimate goal is they want that piece of territory because they are going to set up shop for a universal global religion, okay? The Muslims are being used. This is why the Pope is going around there saying he supports a Palestinian state. It's not, folks, in my impression and understanding, it's not because he cares about Islam, because, frankly, they never have. All of this is a smokescreen. Now, let me demonstrate that for you, that the Vatican is not only not a friend of the Jewish people. This whole thing is a smokescreen, what he's doing right now with the Palestinians and the Muslims, okay? Because historically, they have never been a friend of Islam either. And I'm talking about the Vatican. Remember the Crusades? Hello? Right? What were the Crusades all about? The Crusades, by the way, did not come from Christians. Christians, you don't need to defend that. That came from the Catholic Church, not from Christians. So don't fall for that lie. But the Crusades came from the Catholic Church. What were they all about? They had to get down there to get control of Jerusalem. The same thing. That's what the Crusades were all about, getting back control of Jerusalem. Now, here's my point. Can you name any time in history that the Vatican has sincerely endorsed a Muslim control of Jerusalem? The answer is never. So why are they doing it today? I'm telling you, it's because they're being used as a tool. In fact, history gives us tons of examples where the Vatican opposes not just the Muslim control of the area there, but violently so. Again, this is what the Crusades were all about. Pope Urban II in 1095 AD was the one who was responsible for setting off the Crusades in the Middle East, and it was always about getting occupation of Jerusalem and the holy sites, etc. The Muslims today are just a pawn in the Vatican's hand. The first crusade alone, listen, Catholic crusaders, not Christians, Catholic crusaders slaughtered some 70,000 Jews and Arabs. They slaughtered them both in their goal to get Jerusalem from the so-called, quote, infidel. And that's anybody who's controlling it other than the Catholic Church. Okay, that's what the whole thing is about. The first crusade followed by another and then another and another. And every single one was an attempt to purge the Holy Land of the Muslims and the Jews and anybody else. They wanted, and they've always wanted him. And frankly, that's what they're doing today. They lost it back in the Ottoman Empire. They wanted to get the thing back. That was in the 1500s. And so the question is, why then? Why are you putting up this smokescreen that now you're chumming up with Muslim when you have no concern for those people at all? And you have historically always violently opposed their control of that territory. Well, again, I think it's because they're letting the Muslims do the dirty work for them. Listen to this. One guy says this. Two reasons why. One, because if the Vatican lets the Muslims do this, it will, quote, undermine Israel's control of the city. And so, again, the Muslims get to do the dirty work. Number two, the Vatican's endorsement of the Palestinians provides an ideal cover for their real ambition. And their ambition is to wrest control of Jerusalem away from the Jewish people. That's what the Vaticans want. So the whole thing's a smokescreen. They want this conflict. They want this religious conflict. So guess who arises on the scene and says, hey, have you had enough yet? Muslim and Jew, and they just can't work it out. And nobody's going along with this two-state solution thing. And we've been trying to, you know, work this thing together, but it ain't. I tell you what, how about just give us control? And we'll bring peace to the Middle East. This is what really is going on there. They want to appear as the good guy. Now, if you don't believe that's their intention, if they're going to rise up and be the good guy, the savior, and launch this global religion to bring peace to the Middle East, listen to this. This is from the Vatican. This is from one of their guys, Vatican Cardinal Jean-Louis Touron. Now, listen to this. He is the president of what they call the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. Stop right there. What does that mean? One world religion. That's a buzz phrase for one world religion. Anytime you see interfaith, interfaithism, interreligious, supplanted for what it is, it means one world religion. Okay? So the Vatican has a one world religion council, and listen to what this guy says here. He declared, quote, Israel must adopt an internationally recognized statute that of Jerusalem and the holy places, that they have to acknowledge that all three monotheistic religions are open to all believers. In other words, this interreligious council from the Vatican is saying, listen, Jewish people, you can't say it's just for you. It's got to be, again, not just the Catholics, not just Islam. It's all religions. But guess who gets to run the show? The Vatican. Right? And listen to this, quote, the Vatican is demanding control, these are headlines I'm reading, the Vatican is demanding control of the religious sites in Jerusalem. You're saying, well, so they want just Jerusalem, they want the religious sites. Well, what's the religious sites? Well, it's called the Holy Basin, if you're familiar with the terminology, and the Vatican uses the Holy Basin to refer to an area, listen, the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives, Mount Zion, and all the other holy sites, basically. So they specifically want control of this. Now, you're thinking, well, nobody's going to go along with this. Folks, again, what did Revelation 17 say? This global religious entity, right, who would try to gather all the religions together would work with the what? The kings of the earth. They're working behind the scenes. Now, listen to this. Former President Bill Clinton. Oh, you guys are supposed to go, oh. Yeah, or dun, 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 or do the buzzer. Wrong answer. No. All right. Former President Bill Clinton recommended, listen, the Holy Basin, the holy sites, quote, he, in his administration, he said that this needs to be under a special regime. Needs to, oh, I wonder who that is, Bill. And then, yeah, there you go. There you're getting into it. Right. And then even Obama, his plan for the old city of Jerusalem was to be designated as an international zone. You know, all religions should have access to that. And oh, well, that's right. Didn't both of these presidents meet regularly with the Vatican, the Pope? And I wonder what they. I wonder who's going to head up this interreligious zone. And on it goes, okay? The Vatican is slowly paying off all this thing that they're doing, okay? They need it, a lot of people believe, because this is where they are going to pull off a play to rise up for a false Messiah. Watch this. One guy says this. It can't be that just the Vatican is only interested in access to holy sites in Jerusalem. It's got to be something else that they want. The Roman Catholic Church needs to have certain events played out in order to stand in front of mankind and say, our Messiah has returned. Of course, to the Jews, this Messiah would be a false Messiah, but that doesn't matter to the Vatican. They know this isn't the end of the story that the Jewish God had in mind. But what they're doing is engineering their own ending to the story. And this is why for centuries they have attempted to gain control of Jerusalem. That started way back in the Crusades. They've got to convince the world that the Messiah that they, the Vatican, puts on the world stage is going to be accepted as genuine. And you have to perform this play in Jerusalem. You can't do this in Jersey, New York City, Moscow, Beijing. You've got to perform this play in Jerusalem. The story of this production is that this Messiah from the Vatican will emerge and will merge together the monotheistic religions and usher in peace and harmony into the world and solve the Middle East conflict. There's your word again. The location has to be in Jerusalem. Then this so-called Messiah will insist on having a world government. What's this starting to sound like? Revelation 17. Right? A world government. And then that will usher in an era of world peace and harmony like never before. This will be a lie. It's a fraud. But never mind. This is part of the Vatican's plan. Israel will be pressured to accede to these demands by all world bodies. And the superpowers will claim that this is the only way to solve this Middle East conflict. And in order to get the Jews to go along, they will convince them that this Messiah, having appeared to the Jews, is now the one who will help them rebuild the Jewish temple, which is exactly what the Jewish people want. Now, for those of you who think that this is just some wacky conspiracy theory that I, niftily, if that's a word, niftily, I like that word, niftily made up. I'll use it. I'll run with it, Mario. Okay. If you think I'm just making this up, that the Vatican really is working behind the scenes with the governments and allowing this conflict to go on. They really aren't a friend to the Jews or Islam. They just want access to there. They're letting the Muslims do the dirty work for them because they really want to create this global religion with them, of course, at the top. Then, folks, all you got to do is look. They produce commercials, you know, right? Here's a recent commercial from the Vatican, and you tell me if they're not having plans to combine all the world's religions. Watch this.
La mayor parte de los habitantes del planeta se declaran creyentes. Esto debería provocar un diálogo entre las religiones. No debemos dejar de orar por él y colaborar con quienes piensan distinto.
Confío en Buda.
Creo en Dios.
Creo en Jesucristo.
Creo en Dios, Allah.
Muchos piensan distinto, sienten distinto. Buscan a Dios o encuentran a Dios de diversa manera. En esta multitud, en este abanico de religiones, hay una sola certeza que tenemos para todos. Todos somos hijos de Dios.
Creo en el amor.
Creo en el amor.
Creo en el amor.
Creo en el amor.
Confío en vos para difundir mi petición de este mes. Que el diálogo sincero entre hombres y mujeres de diversas religiones conlleve frutos de paz y justicia. Confío en tu oración.
Straight from the Vatican. And I'm sorry, Pope, you're a liar. I'll say that on tape. You're a liar. Because you don't become a child of God until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus said, John 14:6, He is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Him. Not a way, not one of the ways, not one of the many ways. He is the way, that's it. He is the way, the truth, and the light. That's it. Amen. And the Bible says, listen, you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. So if you don't belong to God through Jesus Christ, which is the only way it happens, then guess what? You are a child of the devil. That's what the Bible says. But this is their own commercial. I'm not making this up. What do they want to do? Combine all the religions, and guess who gets to control them? Now, you might think, well, okay, well, that's fine if they can have this desire all they want. But we know there's no way the Muslims are going to go along with this. No way. We know that the Jewish people, they'll never go along with this baloney. Submit to some global ruler and control the religions on the planet. It's already happening. The Vatican has been doing this for a long time, folks. And I think it's now starting to come to fruition. Right? You look at your average person today, dare I say, even professing Christian, and I'll use that word professing Christian, you know what the stats are? The stats are in the professing Christian in the American church, not the lost, the professing Christian says 1/4, 25% of the church says all religions lead to the same way. That's coming from the so-called church. They're ripe for this lie. They'll look at a commercial like that from the Pope and say, yeah, that's the only way to solve the Middle East conflict over there. And again, you're thinking, there's no way that the Jewish... No, it's already happening. They're already, both parties, all parties are calling for somebody to head up the religions on the planet, just like the United Nations is supposed to be controlling the governments, right? Watch this, folks. This is a former King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia. He's been planning for years to, quote, find a way to unite the world's major religions in an effort to what? Help foster peace. See, that's the solution. And he believes a new international organization will help make that dream a reality. Well, I wonder who that's going to be. Even, the Jewish people. Chief Rabbi Yonah Metzger, one of the two chief rabbis in Israel, said, quote, we need, listen, a united relations of religions, which would contain representatives of the world religions as opposed to nations. A church, a mosque, a synagogue, a holy temple must be embassies of God, and we have to spread this idea to our believers. He went on to say that maybe the Dalai Lama could lead the assembly. I don't think the Pope's going to let you do that. All right? The vacancy's not open. But what's he saying? Just like we've gotten used to over many decades, the United Nations controls the world's governments, in theory. We're resisting, praise God. Okay? But what are they saying? We need an entity that will control the religions on the planet. This is happening right now. Folks, this is Revelation 17 all over it. All right, now let's go down to the Muslims. This one figure here, Muslim figure Adnan Akhtar, he met with the three representatives from the who? The Jewish Sanhedrin. We'll get into that in another study. That's back on the scene, okay? And to discuss what? How religious Muslims, Jews, and Christians, i.e. basically Catholics, can work together on rebuilding the temple. Now, this is from an official statement of their meeting on the Sanhedrin's website. Quote, we are all the sons of one father, the descendants of Adam, and all humanity is but a single family. Peace among nations will be achieved through building the house of God where all peoples will serve. Wonder where that house of God, that temple will be. In Jerusalem, right? And the Vatican wants to head it up. He also said that this temple will be rebuilt. Not maybe, it will be rebuilt, and all believers will worship there in tranquility, and you could build that baby in 1 year. Certainly with technology, right? Wow. I wonder, is that the dangling carrot that the Antichrist uses? Daniel 9:27 makes a treaty, and he says, well, do this, and I'll let you build the temple, and within 1 year. I don't know, folks. This is all going on in the headlines while we're sitting here. Even Israel, their former president, Shimon Peres, right, as you can see right here, the actual photo, he met with Pope Francis to discuss the idea of creating, listen, a UN-like organization that he called the United Religions. Muslims, Jews, they're all falling for it, folks. Right? And it was to bring an end to the wars raging in the Middle East around the world. See, that's the only way we can get rid of this conflict is we got to have the Vatican bring peace to the Middle East and create this global religion in Jerusalem, okay? In fact, if you recall, when the Pope was over here not that long ago in the United States, okay, did you see that? The U.S. media, okay, went crazy over the Pope, right? Thought this guy was the greatest thing since sliced bread. That was bad enough, with all due respect. But number two, if you watch the broadcast, he went to Ground Zero, the World Trade Center, and they used that whole excuse to promote a global religion. Watch this. Here's the footage.
Gathered today in this hallowed ground, the scene of unspeakable violence and pain.
Abhavattu sahanao bunaktu sahabiryam karavavahi.
May God protect us. May God nourish us. May we work together.
Namo buddhaya. Jayang Virang Pasavati.
Victory begets enmity. The defeated dwell in pain.
Nake sade peson. Sachon ore sabko.
That truth is above everything, and the highest deed is truthful living.
Makari iptohi to pnevmati. Oti afton estin I vasilia ton uranon.
For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn.
Wa ilayka yarja'u salam.
Grant us to live with the salutation of peace. And lead us to your abode of peace.
El mali rachamim.
Peace on earth and let it
There's no plans. That was a niftily idea I made up. You know, the Pope and the one real religion. Folks, this is in our own country. This was in our own territory. Not over in Europe. Those people, those Europeans, you know, I tell you what. Yeah, they invented French fries. That was cool. But I tell you what, they're falling for this. This was in the United States of America. It's being used as a platform to promote a one world religion. And again, it's just, don't you see? This conflict will never end. I mean, do you think it was by chance he did it at Ground Zero? Don't you want to stop those terrorist attacks? I mean, those people are extremists to say that their way is the only way. I've said this for years, folks. I've said this ever since 9/11. The same verbiage and propaganda used on the Muslim terrorists, which I don't agree with, is being used, that everybody says we got to get rid of, is being used on you and I, the evangelical Christian. Why? Because we believe in what I just quoted earlier, John 14:6. Jesus is the only way. We're being called religious extremists, just like the Muslim terrorists. And if you want to get rid of those people, if you want to stop events like the World Trade Center, because that's what it is, then just make sure you have the Vatican control all the religions. Right, kids? Sing along. This is what's going on, folks, in the news all over the world. Now, what's wild, you take a look at that, is these people are not just falling for it, it's happening right here in the United States. But what's interesting is even the occult, even New Age, if you guys know my testimony, what I came out of, they're following the same script. It's almost like there's New Age, Vatican, the occult, it's all coming from the same source. I wonder where that is. But here's how New Age sees this global religion coming to play in the last days. Let's take a look at their version of how things are going to, quote, play out. First of all, they believe that what is coming, and they're expecting it very soon, is what is called the New Jerusalem Covenant. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that sounds like a Daniel 9:27 event. He says that the Antichrist, Daniel 9:27, makes a covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years. That's the event that starts the seven-year tribulation. Well, New Age, they call that the New Jerusalem Covenant, okay? They say that sometime soon, and they believe it could happen at any time, depending on the right circumstances, here's what's going to happen to the planet, right? Number one, the Muslim and Jewish areas in Jerusalem will be combined into the, quote, Christian, Catholic, if you will, to create the New Jerusalem Covenant, right? All the three monotheistic religions get to worship there. Is that happening today? Yes, the Vatican's right behind that. The Pope will then, this is from New Age, the Pope will visit the combined Jewish, Christian, Catholic, Muslim sector of Jerusalem to announce that all religions should be combined into one. This will finally break the Middle East logjam, they say. All religions will then conveniently celebrate three festivals simultaneously on the planet. The first one they're going to call the Festival of Goodwill. The second one is what we would call Easter, right, to supposedly be the Christian version to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The third one is the Festival of Wesak, which is supposed to be celebrating the birth of Buddha. This will combine the festivals there, will create the New World Order religion that will be the spiritual equivalent to the political United Nations, they believe. Then, when all the religious communities are all gathered together, guess what follows next? This is coming from the occult, from New Age. Then we can finally get all the world governments to merge into one simultaneously. And then they're going to do three things, right? One, they're going to launch what's called the Planetary Goodwill Congress, right? A universal government. Two, a Planetary Human Resource and Disarmament Congress, right? And number three, a Planetary Environmental Resource and, I thought this was interesting, Space Congress. What's just happening in the news? We're launching a new, that's kind of interesting. This is a plan of New Age a long time ago. Thus, when the three religious conferences and the three political government conferences are simultaneously held, this will, quote, help them steer the world in their desired direction. Then and only then will it be possible to build the temple, church, mosque in where? Jerusalem. And any permanent solution to the Middle East conflict would have to see the religious portion of the problem solved. Once it's solved, then the power of the Orthodox Jews in Israel would what? Permanently decline. We know that when the temple is rebuilt, we know that temple will be the very temple that the actual Antichrist goes up into, halfway into the seven-year tribulation. He declares himself to be God. Jewish people finally wake up. Oh no, boy, did we blow it. Unfortunately, two-thirds of them are going to be annihilated. God will sovereignly protect another third. This is what they say. That's going to permanently decline. And then they say, at the same time this is being formed, before it all gets launched, that there's three types of people on the planet. Watch this. Those whose consciences have been properly raised so they can readily accept him, i.e., the Antichrist. Category number one. Number two, those whose consciences have been raised somewhat, but not so high that they can readily accept him. Okay, but they might accept him later after further enlightenment, quote unquote. And number three, this is from New Age. There's a third category of people on the planet. Those who will never accept him. And they were actually asked what happens to those people who will never accept this guy. Watch this. This is wild. These persons of group three will elect to leave for another room. And they were asked, what are they going to do, die? They said, no, they will not commit suicide. They, quote, just simply leave this dimension. What's that sound like? Whoop. Sounds like a rapture. Very interesting, isn't it? One guy says, I wouldn't be surprised if this group is actually writing the peace treaty covenant that the Antichrist is going to sign with Israel at the proper time. Again, that is fulfillment of Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. In the middle of the 7, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering on a wing of the temple. He will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. In other words, he is the big loser. You don't want to be a part of it. Okay. Now, again, if you're thinking that we are so far off, there's a long way from this ever being launched in, folks, you need to take a look at what's going on. Watch this video of the world's religions, and they're just waiting to get together as we speak. They want this. And guess who's at the top? The Vatican. One more to go. Let's take a look at this.
We are called, as we like to say, to look into one another's eyes in order to see more deeply and in order to recognize the beauty of God in every living human being.
Our advice is to make friends to followers of all religions.
Muy importante porque la mía, mi vida religiosa se enriqueció con explicaciones de él. Se enriqueció muchísimo, ¿no? Y supongo que también algunas mías, ¿no? Bueno.
Fue nuestra vocación religiosa la que propició el que nos encontremos en la vida.
No matter from which side of the mountain you are climbing, we should be helping each other, so that we can all get to the same place. So there is need for people to make friends.
وقال نبحث عن أوجه الخلافات التي تختص بكل طائفة عن الأخرى.
Personal contact, personal friendship. Then we can exchange deeper level of experience.
Honor other religions like you do your own.
We need to get together and know one another just to discover and explore those commonalities.
That starts a process where prejudices go away, where new insights are born, and where basically hope is born.
It's not complicated. I would say to everyone, start with sharing what we all share, which is the pleasure of conversation.
One of the wonderful things about spending time with people completely unlike you is you discover how much you have in common, the same fears, the same hopes, the same concerns.
I think I'll keep it very simple. It's probably time to talk less, listen more.
All religions on the planet. Come on. I mean, apparently the Beatles had it right. All you need is love. Just love each other. Who cares about the truth? Just find what's... Doesn't that sound so good? Doesn't that tickle the ear? 1/4 of the professing church is in agreement with that video. Not the world, our professing brothers and sisters in Christ. It's even affecting the church. That's how powerful this seduction really is. Folks, this is going on right now as we sit here. All religions on the planet are wanting to join together as one. If only they had some entity, some somebody with experience, somebody who could speak for the world's religions and keep it all together and create a utopia. Yeah, it's anybody. Just make sure it's the Pope. Just make sure it's the Vatican, it's the Catholic Church. Revelation 17 said what? This global last days religious harlot would come on the scene, would work with the governments around the world. And ultimately, that's what we're seeing right now with the Vatican and the Catholic Church. Exactly what the Bible says would happen today. And again, what's the main context? The main context is to explain, why is there so much conflict in Jerusalem? How is it this little teeny tiny piece of real estate is constantly on the topic of everybody around the world? And it doesn't stop. Yes, the military conflict, but as you saw hopefully today, it's also a religious conflict. And it's even bigger than just the Muslim versus the Jew. It's the Catholic Church with their hands in it, wanting this conflict so they could rise out of the ashes to that to create their global religious temple that they want in Jerusalem, okay? Now, with all that said, they had it going, man. They had it going. As you can see, man, people are falling for it all over the world, right and left. And then all of a sudden, somebody came on the scene and had to mess it up. His name is President Donald Trump. What? Are you mean to tell me you're going to recognize Israel and their sovereignty as a nation? You mean to tell me you're going to move the U.S. embassy over there, acknowledging Jerusalem is their capital? You can't have that. We're building a one world religion. You want to know why there's so much conflict even today? It's because Trump has messed it up. But we'll get to that, Lord willing, next time. Let's go ahead and let's pray.
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you enjoyed today's study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. Are you sure that if you were to die today that you go to heaven and not hell? Now, before you answer that, let me share with you a couple things that the Bible says. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven when we die. We deserve to go down. We deserve to go to hell. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this problem that we have, that we're separated from God not only now, but we're going to be separated from Him for all eternity in a place called hell. We don't even want to admit that. So once again, out of love, God gives us what's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were God's x-ray, if you will, divine x-ray to get us to admit the problem that we have inside that's separating us from Him. Let's take a look at a few of those, of God's divine x-ray. For instance, if you think that you're worthy on your own, you don't need a Savior, you're going to get to heaven all by yourself, then let's take a look at God's test there. The Ten Commandments. The ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That means lying. How many of you have ever told a lie before? Raise your hand. Okay? If you didn't raise your hand, you just told one. But folks, we've all done that. That makes us a liar. The Ten Commandments, God's x-ray, showing us that we have sin that's separating us from Him. We're not holy and perfect like Him. The fifth commandment says this, you shall not steal. Don't ever once take anything without permission. How many of you have ever done that? Well, if we're not going to tell another lie, we should all admit that as well. Well, that makes us a thief now. The Bible says that God is so holy, even His name is holy. And that's why the Ten Commandments says, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And if we're honest again, folks, hey, a lot of us, how many of us have used the blessed name of Jesus Christ? The only name the Bible says under heaven that men might be saved. We've now turned it into a common cuss word, if you can believe that. The Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. The Bible also says, hey, you want to show God you're so perfect, you have no sin, then don't ever once commit adultery. And you might say, well, I've never done that, really? Jesus lays the standard before us. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. Jesus said, if you ever looked with lust in your eye at another person, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's His holy standard. One more. The Bible says, okay, you think you're so good? Then don't ever once commit murder. You shall not murder. And you might say, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? The Bible again says that the sin of hatred, wishing someone was dead, is akin to the sin of murder. It's just, if you will, you pull the trigger in your heart. So how are you doing? That's just 5 out of 10 of God's divine x-ray, by the way, showing us the problem. How are you doing? Not if, but when your time comes, we're all going to stand before God. You will be forced to admit what He already knows. Hey, God, let me in. Let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer, an adulterer, and a murderer. And the Bible is clear. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're not headed to heaven. In that state, you're headed to hell. But here's the good news. God said if we would just admit this, number one, then he could fix it. And it gets fixed only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. Why? Because only Jesus lived the perfect life in our place. And Jesus died on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be set free. And since we weren't there, and since it's a gift and we can't earn it, we have to receive that wonderful gift by faith. And the Bible says God will pardon us for our crimes, our sins, against him. And you could actually see this analogy working in the natural, in the normal world. We see this actually in the courtroom. For instance, if a person is guilty and everybody knows they're guilty, they've committed a horrible crime and the sentence has passed, the judge has knocked down the gavel and says, hey, you are going to jail, you are going to the death penalty for that crime. And we know that people, that happens all the time, and they go to jail. But believe it or not, did you know there's a way for that person, even though they're guilty, to actually be set free from that crime? It's called a pardon. And the one in authority, the governor, has the pardon out of mercy, out of goodness. Certainly nothing that that person did in jail. They can't undo the crime. It's too late. But out of mercy, the governor could go down there and grant that person in jail a full pardon for their crimes. And by receiving that pardon, the doors come open and they are set free and they're rescued from the death penalty. Folks, that's what God is doing every single day with us spiritually. He has allowed his son Jesus Christ to take the death penalty in our place. He's pardoned us, but a pardon does you no good unless you reach out and receive it. And it's actually been on historical record that there have been people on death row who a governor has gone down out of mercy and extends to them a full pardon, but they've rejected it. And by their own doing, they went to the death penalty. Folks, don't make that same mistake for all eternity. God loves you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done, all of it, even the sins we don't even know about. He wants to pardon you and forgive you, but you must receive that by faith today. The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call upon his name, ask him to forgive you of all your sins, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Please do that now. Please do that today, because tomorrow may be too late. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. Again, thank you for joining us. If there's anything that you need, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information and number and things will pop up here on the screen here shortly. And remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.